This is Akashvani. In the program Spotlight, now we bring you a discussion on Bharatiya Vayuyan Vidhayak 2024. The participants are Sandeep Phukan, senior journalist, and Anubha Rohatgi, anchor.
Parliament recently passed the Bharatiya Vayuyan Vidhayak 2024. To discuss the salient features of this law and its implications, I'm now joined by aviation expert Sandeep Phukan. Sandeep, welcome to the program.
Thank you.
Sandeep, what are the salient features of the Bharatiya Vayuyan Vidhayak that has been passed by the Parliament?
The Bharatiya Vayuyan Vidhayak 2024 has amended or replaced the earlier Aircraft Amendment Act 1934. So as the dates suggest, that it's a 90-year-old bill, although from time to time the bill has been amended. And in fact, if I recall correctly, over 21 times the bill has been amended, the law has been amended. And these amendments are required to take into account technology, changes in technology, you know, with time. So from the time when we had turboprop aircraft to now completely sort of computerized aircraft, it's a completely different scenario. This bill, overall, it seeks to modernize the sector. It seeks to essentially give the center or empower the center in terms of designs, give emphasis to manufacture, provide more safety to passengers, encourage investments, especially in the area of maintenance, repair and overhaul. And of course, there are correcting certain discrepancies. For example, before this bill or before this law was amended, earlier, all these aviation professionals, pilots, trainee pilots, they had to clear what is called as an RTR exam or Radio Telephone Operator Restricted Certificate. So yes, that is a requirement, mandatory. Now, that particular exam was conducted under the aegis of Department of Telecom, whereas Department of Telecom has very little to do with that. So this, you know, radio telephony certificate is required by every pilot. So now what this bill does is that it has been brought under the jurisdiction of DGCA. So the Director General of Civil Aviation will conduct the exam. So it also helps the aviation professionals to look at a single window clearance system. Mm-hmm. And that's a big welcome step. In fact, this has been an issue that has been reported earlier, that several pilots, especially trainee pilots, have complained about having to run from one authority to another to clear these exams. So now I think they should be happy that, as demanded by them, it'll come under a single window clearance under one authority.
Okay, so what you've told us, one of the salient features is, you know, something that is going to be of help to the pilots. But when it comes to passengers, are there any provisions in this new law to ensure the safety of air passengers and to ensure their comfort and their ease?
Of course, as I said earlier, that it seeks to enhance safety. It seeks to tighten the regulatory framework. So some fines have been added, some penal provisions have been made tighter, and they should be in sync with international norms. We shouldn't forget, Anubha, that aviation sector is one sector that is open to international safety audit every now and then. So there is a United Nations organization called ICAO, International Civil Aviation Organization. It is based in Montreal in Canada. And ICAO professionals come and they evaluate our safety standards. They evaluate our security setup. They evaluate our professional standards and then they rate us. So it is like you have the Federal Aviation Authority in the US. So country like ours, we will definitely seek to be on top of the game. So clearly, anything that is found to be lacking, that needs to be corrected. So in terms of safety for passengers, it has to be in sync or in line with the international norm. And that's what the bill seeks to do by empowering the center in terms of tightening the regulatory framework.
One of the features or one of the key points of this particular law is to do with promoting, you know, self-reliance in aircraft manufacturing and to encourage investment. What are the provisions in this particular law, or how will this law do that?
Okay, so when you talk about aircraft manufacturing, Anubha, here I would like to point out that, look, world over, as you know, that aircraft manufacturing, that to passenger aircraft manufacturing, that's an extremely highly sophisticated and technical job. And only a few countries in the world, a few corporations in the world are actually successful in building aircraft, passenger aircraft. Of course, I mean, the two biggest names, as we know, the European manufacturer Airbus, which is again a collaboration between France, Germany and Britain, and US-based Boeing. These are the two biggest operators. But in some countries, I mean, Russians have made their passenger, the IL version, the Ilyushin aircraft, you know, the Russians have made their aircraft. Chinese have also successfully built passenger aircraft. But we've been trying, we've had some experiments, especially the HAL, Bangalore-based Hindustan Aeronautics Limited. They have been designing small passenger aircraft, but it, you know, we are still quite some distance away from having our own made in India or, you know, design made in India, built in India aircraft. We've done that in the case of a fighter aircraft, yes, the Tejas, but not yet in case of passenger aircraft. But what we have successfully done is that HAL in Bangalore, for example, they make a lot of these parts even for Airbus.
True.
Say the door or, you know, many other system, avionics, many other systems are built there. So this bill will actually seeks to give encouragement to more investments in India, because that will have a multiplier effect both in terms of jobs as well as investments coming and creating more jobs, and also technology, transfer of technology. That's why I said in the beginning that this bill is a, I mean, you know, though it's been amended many times over, but I think its time has come to India being among the fastest growing aviation market. I mean, and we are still among the fastest growing economies in the world. So it's only appropriate that our laws are changed in sync with the need of the, with the needs of the time, and take advantage of our position.
And before we move forward in this discussion, let's hear what Civil Aviation Minister K. Ramamohan Naidu said in Parliament about employment generation aspect of this sector.
We have been talking about a lot of the air traffic connectivity and how we bring more people into air travel network. But what we are really trying to address through the Act itself is how do we improve the job creation and economic activity also. The multiplier effect that we have in this is 1 rupee spent creates 3 rupees of economic activity. One job that we create in aviation creates up to 6 to 15 times jobs in the direct and indirect sector in aviation. That is the potential we have. And how do we tap into it? We create India as a state of design. We create India as a state of maintenance, as a state of manufacture. Once you get that mindset flowing, we will become the country where we can produce our own aircraft, not only for the domestic demands of the country, but we promote it so that other countries also come to us and buy aircraft which are made in India. That is the real Atmanirbhar Bharat that we want to address.
Since, you know, we are discussing investment, how important is the PPP model, the public-private partnership model, in encouraging investment, especially in a sector like aviation, which requires a lot of investment and a lot of research?
Recently, we've seen some investments coming by way of, you know, private sectors. See, it's very important, as I said, that these aircraft manufacturing is highly specialized. Even to manufacture a nut or a bolt that goes into the aircraft, it's a highly specialized job concerning quality. It's not as if that you will get too many operators whom you can choose from the shelf and tell them that come my way and let's set up shop and start selling in the market. That doesn't happen. There are specific players in the international market. You only have to work with them. Yes. So it's very important. And given, you know, the safety aspect, the quality aspect, it's very important. We have very good private players, very respectable names, with the adequate amount of government support in terms of providing logistics, in terms of providing, you know, policy framework, so that that positive ecosystem is created in terms of both jobs as well as technology transfer. So yes, public-private partnership is very important. For example, to, you know, these are huge investments requiring large tracts of land. So it may not be possible for a private player to source that kind of land that they require. It's only appropriate that the government steps in and provides land. So that kind of support one would expect from state governments and from the center as well.
Right. Over the last few years, more airports are being developed, especially in tier 2 and 3 cities, to accommodate more passengers. So how has this measure helped in strengthening India's aviation sector?
See, Anubha, two things. One is, of course, look at the number of airports that were functional earlier and now. So in roughly 74, 75 airports are functional in 2014. So in a span of 10 years, this number has now more than doubled. The minister the other day informed the parliament that 157 airports are functional. Several MPs during the course of the debate had raised this point that there are many airstrips which were used during the Second World War, especially in the Northeast, where I come from. And I know that there were several, Second World War airstrips that were created, which were used by the Allied forces. Mm-hmm. But after that, it just went into disuse. So now, under the Uran scheme, what has happened is that, they don't connect to big cities, but as you said, tier two cities, and it's very important. So, for example, Dhubri is a border town in Assam.
Yes.
So there always existed the Rupsi airport, the airstrip, but it was never utilized. So under the Uran scheme, now you have a Dhubri airport, which is a civil terminal, very basic terminal for civilian aircraft. And you have now flights connecting between Dhubri and Guwahati and other places. So this way, Hindon, right next to us, Delhi. So they've also, in a limited way, they've also opened up for, this was an Air Force airport, but they've also opened up for civilian traffic. So this Uran scheme is, Uran actually is an acronym for Urega Deshka Aam Nagrik.
Yes.
UDAN. So the idea behind Uran scheme was that, look, not everybody can afford the high airfares, but left to airlines, they would only look at the profitable routes, say Delhi-Mumbai, Delhi-Bangalore, Delhi. These are routes that every airline knows will be filled with people.
Yes.
So, but what about those routes where there is a requirement for faster connectivity, better connectivity, but, the issue is that no airline would actually like to operate because they would see as loss-making sectors, loss-making routes.
Yes.
So to compensate for the losses, the government actually through the Uran scheme subsidizes them. They give them a certain guarantee that this is the amount of money that we will pay. The rest you have to operate and make your own money through ticket sales and other ways. So this is how the Uran scheme was launched. And there have been now several editions of the Uran scheme.
Now, since you have mentioned airfares, I have to ask you, because this was a question that was, asked in the parliament also about the steep airfares. So airfares have now been deregulized for quite a bit of time. But how have these impacted the fares, and what needs to be done to ensure fair pricing so that the passengers, at the end of the day, it's the passenger who benefits?
Right. My personal view is that they have been deregulated since 1994. So for 30 years, airfares have been deregulated. The problem that I see in terms of controlling prices is that, look, the supply is not keeping in terms of the demand.
Okay.
Our growth is, the number of air flyers are going up and up. But to that extent, we don't have too many airlines.
Okay.
In my view, the government will surely have a role. They cannot have, predatory pricing. They cannot have cartelization, which means that, they cannot have a situation where two or three airlines gang up and decide that this is going to be the fare and the passenger does not have any option but to buy at that fare. My personal view is that to most of these issues, we should have more airlines. We should have more competition, because competition means that if passengers have more choices, if passenger can choose from 10 airlines, then every airline will be forced to keep their fares low.
Absolutely.
So that the passenger chooses them instead of their rival.
Thank you so much, Sandeep, for coming to our studio and for this discussion.
Thank you so much, Anurag.
You were listening to a discussion on Bharatiya Vayuyan Vidhayak 2024. The participants were Sandeep Phukan, senior journalist, and Anubha Rohatgi, anchor. This program was produced and presented by the News Services Division of Akashvani. You can listen to it on our mobile app, News on AIR. This program is also available on our YouTube channel, News on AIR Official. You may share your feedback about this program through email at airnstalks@gmail.com or WhatsApp on 9289094044.